Welcome to our continuing coverage of Microsoft Ignite. I am Alex Bradley here with you live from the Keynote Hall in Chicago, where this morning Satya Nadella and other executives discussed Microsoft's ambitions and how they relate to the evolution of IT. This afternoon, we finish day one of the first ever Microsoft Ignite with a keynote by Executive Vice President for Technology and Research, Harry Shum. His team is the most forward-looking part of Microsoft and perhaps the industry as a whole. Coming up in our keynote pre-show, we'll be joined by a researcher from Microsoft Research's Quantum Computing Group, a team that spends time searching for the next big thing in computing. Following his keynote, Harry will be coming directly from the main stage to join me here. I would love the chance to ask him some of your questions. All you have to do is tweet it using the hashtag MSIgnite. As you can see behind me, the crowd is beginning to gather for the afternoon keynote. Joining us to preview the keynote and keeping the pulse of your reaction via social media is Joey Snow. What's been trending today, Joey?
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me back. It's been a fantastic day. There's a lot of buzz about Microsoft in general, so let's hit the Twitter responses that we have so far. HP Don Jones says, people say Microsoft has its mojo back. I'm not sure that they ever lost it, but wow, the velocity that they are running is breathtaking. Digital MacGyver says, Ignite takeaway so far, Microsoft is going in the right direction. Universal, open, unified, and user-focused. Well done. Kevin the Future, thrilled to be attending Ignite from my desk. Wow, the future is great. Data Definer says, Microsoft Ignite, where else in the world can you possibly learn so much in just a few days? Amazing. And TM Bada says, Ignite, bringing the future of technology to your doorstep. Fist bump.
I didn't know you could do that on Twitter. Anything, you know, I know you've been out after the keynotes finished this morning, you went over and you've been live on Channel 9. People that you've been speaking to, what do you think people are expecting to hear from Harry today?
You know, I think they're just kind of looking to see what we are doing in the research department. Microsoft invests so much in research that I think it's great to kind of take people behind the scenes and see the innovation that is actually happening. And that's what folks are excited to see.
Got it. Well, speaking of this morning's keynotes, we've got some clips just in case you weren't able to join us and you're watching online, or for those in the room as a little bit of a reminder. First up, we've got a clip of Satya talking about the evolving role of IT.
Move IT from delivering information technology in our organizations to driving the innovation and transformation in our organizations. That is the theme of this conference. That's the theme of Ignite.
And I think we're going to hear a lot more this week about that evolution of technology. Technology is at the center, is really what the subsequent speakers all went and spoke about. Speaking of technology at the center, we've got to work with our partners in technology to get our products and cloud services out to end users. And one of the big pieces of change at the moment, it was big news at Build, and Terry Myerson came on to talk about it this morning, was around Windows and Windows 10. And we've got a great clip here with Satya talking about how he thinks about Windows and its evolution.
Perhaps the most profound change is how we think about Windows. Windows 10, for me, is not just another release of Windows. It is a new generation of Windows. And it's about Windows delivered as a service.
Windows as a service, it's really, really one of the big pieces of news from today, in amongst some of the others like Office 2016 Preview and some of the amazing things that Brad Anderson was talking about. But when I think about Windows as a service, Julia White, who came on this morning's post-keynote show, talked and put it in context a little bit. We've already begun to make that evolution with Office 365 Pro Plus. Windows is joining in with that, and it really marks a fundamental shift in technology. Now, as we shift, it's still important to empower IT to not only, again, deliver content and solutions that will delight their end users, but we also have to give IT that control of where they deploy these solutions. So we've got a great clip from Satya now on that decision that IT has to make.
And it's also about transforming our data center so that you have the flexibility to be able to drive the choices that you make in terms of public cloud deployment, private cloud deployment, or even tiering the two together into achieve what you want to achieve.
All right. So that is, Satya was talking about how we need to not only give IT choice. One of the things that then the subsequent speakers went on to talk about was the three ambitions. So Satya talked about more personal computing, Gurdeep talked about reinventing productivity, and then Brad talked about building the more intelligent cloud. One of the things that Gurdeep talked about and Julia White showed in the demo was a new app, one of the most recent apps in Office, which was an app called Sway. Many of you might not have yet seen it, but it's just about, or it's in consumer preview at the moment at sway.com, and the news of the day was about Sway coming into the Office 365 business plans. And Satya had a fantastic quote about Sway.
Even in the last 12 months, we have been innovating in new categories. It's not just about Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Of course, we have those tools that are now available on every device on the planet. But it's more important that we keep on the forefront of innovation. It's new categories like Sway, and I had a chance to meet some kids in education using Sway to create interactive documents like never before, and I believe that every marketing department and every sales department is going to be creating their artifacts using Sway.
I think that's fantastic, and I couldn't agree more. Having used Sway a little bit, it's so easy to create content that is very much consumable of the moment. If we think about some of the traditional Office products, they're still very, very relevant, but for specific purposes. However, people today want to consume things on the go in a very dynamic format, and Sway takes really helps empower end users to create beautiful content that then flows from small screens on mobile phones right up to those big surface hubs. And Satya talked about innovating in new categories, and Sway he gave us an example of that. The Surface Hub is another category that I really think is interesting in that regard. So, we've just got a few minutes to go until the afternoon keynote. Coming up next is one of Microsoft's top researchers who's going to be joining us. Welcome back to live coverage of Microsoft Ignite. Alex Bradley here on the keynote stage, which is just over my shoulder. We're just a few minutes away from the start of afternoon keynotes. Right now, we are joined by a Microsoft researcher who will be on the main stage shortly. She is part of Microsoft's Quantum Computing Group. Krista Savori, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, Krista, first off, how long have you been at Microsoft, and what attracted you to join the technology and research team?
So I've been at Microsoft Research for 9 years now. And I wanted to join Microsoft Research because we really have a lot of freedom in our research, and we publish, and we get to work with the smartest people in the world. We have over 1,000 scientists and engineers.
Now, when you say research, I think most people at Microsoft think of software engineers and the products that we put out, whether it's desktop products, cloud products, and whatnot. We have these 1,000 researchers. What's their day job? What does that your job look like?
Well, right now, we're really focused on the next big thing. You know, all working together, what will the future of technology look like? The future with computer science innovation.
And how do we think about taking some of that research that you do and bringing it into the products that we use every single day?
Yeah, so we actually speak a lot with the product groups about what their needs are, what the challenges are that they're facing. And so some people in research focus on nearer term solutions.
Yes,
and then some work on very long term.
Now, you mentioned 1,000 people. Where are those 1,000 people in the world?
Well, worldwide. We have more than 11 labs worldwide, several in the United States, India, China, England.
Yes, University of Cambridge. We've got one right there, I believe.
Indeed.
Fantastic. And have you spent time in any of those, or have you worked abroad and then now you're back in Redmond, is that right? Or
I've been based mostly in Redmond.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about the research group at Microsoft, give us a sense, you know, you're speaking later on, what is the keynote going to be about?
Well, we really want to showcase what the future of technology looks like and what possible next big things, what they are.
Now, you mentioned that you often speak with some of the product teams to, you know, think about how that research makes it into the products. What do you think, you know, so you get the chance to interact with other parts of the, you know, the Microsoft family.
Right.
What's different about working in Microsoft Research?
Well, our daily job looks a lot different. We don't have ship deadlines, you know, product release deadlines. We really have to come up with the questions to ask.
But you talk about, you know, working on the next big thing. It's not clear what that is. So I imagine you've got to figure out where things are going and not just, you know, where the puck is.
That's right. I think the big challenge is knowing what direction should we take technology? What should we be looking at for the future?
Got it. And in your 9 years at Microsoft Research, what are the different bits and pieces that you've been focused on?
So I started in machine learning and working on ranking algorithms, in particular for Bing.
Oh, interesting.
And now I work in quantum computing.
Now, I'd like to talk about that machine learning and the Bing piece, and then, you know, I don't want to dive too much into the quantum computing because I know we're going to be talking about it shortly. But is that a good example of how we think it very, you know, looking forward, make the investments in research, and then see how things turn up in the product?
Yeah, definitely. In research, we can work on the algorithms behind Bing in conjunction with the engineers and scientists in the product groups and now, think about what that should look like.
Because Bing isn't just a sort of search engine. You think about, you know, search, you go to the thing and you get your, you know, your links. It's actually what powers Cortana, and I imagine machine learning is really what's going on behind the scenes there.
That's right. Machine learning is pervasive across pretty much every Microsoft product, including Bing and Cortana.
Now, is it the machine learning that you worked on that made its way into Bing the same, you know, algorithms or same technology that we rely on for whether it's Azure ML or the Office 365 and the Office Graph?
Indeed, some of my colleagues that I worked on with Bing now are actually in Azure ML. So the same algorithms are sitting there.
Interesting. And have you kept track with how people are using Azure ML or the Office Graph? And, you know, what are some of the things that you've been surprised to see as a result?
Yeah, I personally am now focused on quantum computing, so I have not followed what Azure ML is being used for particularly.
Well, so Satya actually mentioned one company this morning in his keynote called ThyssenKrupp, which is an elevator company from Scandinavia. Uh-huh. Actually, they've got elevators and they make cranes as well. And what I think is fascinating is this transcends not just the trend of, you know, machine learning and AI and whatnot, but also the Internet of Things, which is a very present trend right here and now. And so ThyssenKrupp used to make cranes to lift boats out of the water and things like that. And they made their money selling those cranes.
Uh-huh.
What they do now is they still make money selling those cranes, but they also now sell service packages to, you know, perform maintenance on those cranes. And previously, the maintenance packages were on a predictive, service level. So every 6 months they check in. Now with sensors and using Azure ML, they can go in and predict when things are going to fail, saves them money, and allows them to provide a better product for their customers. It's
right.
Pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Awesome. Well, last thing, you know, as we mentioned, you're about to take the stage, and I've been told to ask you to tease us a little bit. What can we expect to see? Is there a little cheat, you know, window into the content?
Well, so you'll definitely hear more about the future of technologies, but you'll also learn something about the coldest place in the universe.
The coldest place in the universe, and this is May the 4th, Star Wars Day, so this is not related to that, I'm guessing.
Well, maybe someday it'll be
maybe someday.
Star Wars.
All right, we're going super futuristic. I love it. Krista, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Alex.
And best of luck.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've got not only, you know, many people joining us here in the room. The room was set with over 15,000 seats, and we'll be right back after this.
The real question that needs to be asked is, what is it that we can do that is impactful?
What the cloud enables is computing to empower cancer researchers.
It used to take 2 weeks to sequence and analyze a genome. With the Microsoft Cloud, we can analyze 100 per day.
Whatever I can do to help compute a cure for cancer, that's what I'd like to do.
Welcome back to this afternoon's keynote show. I've got a reminder that we were going to be talking with Harry Shum here on this stage, immediately following his keynote. You can tweet us your questions for Harry using the hashtag MSIgnite. Now, joining me again is Joey. We've talked a lot about the social work that you've been doing today. I actually want to change tack a little bit and talk a bit about what's going to happen on stage before Harry's keynote. I understand we've got some special guests.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Imagine Cup, a competition that we run every year for students, and this is something I'm very, very passionate about, particularly about finding this next generation of student developers to kind of help tackle some of those tough challenges that the world is facing, maybe develop that next new really cool game. And the other cool thing about this is that we also provide these students with the tooling necessary that they need to do that. And then what they'll do is kind of enter into competition, test how they fare against others. In fact, they just finished the US finals just last week.
I know.
Start getting closer and closer to the world finals in Seattle.
We had Channel 9 actually at the Ignite finals.
Yes, absolutely. Channel 9 covered it live at the US Imagine finals, and we will be there worldwide as well.
Now, so here we are. We're at Microsoft's premier enterprise technology conference.
Yes.
Why are we talking about students in the Imagine Cup?
You know, really, Alex, it's about that future. And you've really heard it a lot today, both through the keynote as well as we've transitioned into those foundational sessions. There's a lot about that. Find that future, find that next generation, and empower. It's that empowerment piece of it. I'm super passionate about it. I've got two nephews that are very, very big into the writing games and those kinds of things. And let's go find that younger, next generation, because they come with amazing ideas.
Well, you know, Gurdeep had some really interesting stats. I think Satya talked a little bit about it, but Gurdeep had some interesting stats around, by 2020, millennials are going to make up the majority of the US, I think it was US actually, workforce. And he had a really scary one, saying that every single day, 10,000 baby boomers are retiring in the US. So the millennials are taking over.
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition to that, there's this massive skills gap inside of technology, you know, in IT in general. It's not just, you know, the standard running cables and servers. It's that development space. It's everything else. And this is just something that Microsoft is very passionate about doing, and going and getting that next generation, and even that generation after that, going from college to high school, perhaps even younger down into the middle schools and even elementary school.
All right. Well, we've had a fantastic day so far. The keynotes were amazing. Satya did a really great job of talking about that evolving role of technology and setting out the three ambitions.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of buzz in the folks that I've had an opportunity to chat with, the customers that I've been able to interact with, about that whole, you know, that driving that business.
Any final thoughts? I've been told you've got about 20 seconds to wrap up.
Hey, just make sure that everybody joins us every morning, 8:45. We're going to run some highlights of the previous day. And of course, stream those sessions live and join us on Channel 9 Live. Get us those tweets at hashtag MSIgnite.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Joey.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Well, now the stage is set for Harry Shum and the keynote. I'm really looking forward to this. So thank you so much for joining us. Remember, no flash in the room. Please mute your phones. I hope you have a fantastic time learning a little bit more about the Imagine Cup. And then you'll hear from our Executive Vice President of Technology and Research, Harry Shum. Let's go and join him on the stage.